Blog Talk Radio.
Insomniacs and Olympics to open up the show. Usually we don't do that on regular shows like this, but welcome to Spectral Ganglia. I'm one half of your host, Mr. DJ Frankie Flash Metro. I believe we actually have the main host of the evening on the line, Miss Alexander. I'm going to check and see if, I think area code 724. Is that you, Lynn? 724?
Yes, it is. It is.
All right.
I'm calling from 724 tonight. I know it's confusing. use all different phones. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. Like, I'm glad Lindsay actually came down and woke me up because I was, like, completely passed out, drunk and shit. So I'm here. I'm here. I'm alive.
Yeah, no, that's... Cool. That's cool. It's good to hear you. I don't know. I wouldn't say the main host. I mean, you know, I think we all just sort of pitch in and, you know, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's you, sometimes it's Paul. But Paul is out in Hawaii this evening, if you can imagine that. I don't know. I don't think we'll be hearing from him tonight.
We do have a first caller of the evening, actually, in area code 415. I don't even know where 415 is. But
415? Where is 415? You know what? I'm terrible with that stuff.
Me too. Let's find out. Let's ask them. We're going to find out. 415, where are you exactly?
Well, actually, I'm in Hawaii. I'm in Hawaii at the moment, actually. But,
but I knew it was you.
But the area code in Hawaii is 808.
I knew it was you. How many times do I call you?
Well, I can't, because I'm out here and I'm dealing with these dinner plans at 6 p.m. I might have to go at any minute, but I wanted to call in and just say, hey man, I'm still here.
Hey man,
yeah.
I'm with you guys.
I'm surprised.
You know, I got a little break in the itinerary. There's been a little breakdown in communication, a little confusion here, so that happens from time to time. So, you know, I've got a few spare minutes, and I thought I would jump on the line. And is JD going to be on tonight? Is this JD's night tonight? Is that right, or am I wrong?
I thought it was originally, but it looks like tonight we're actually just running as Lynn so aptly put it last week, we're free-willing tonight.
Yeah.
So,
right, right.
Number to call in, everybody that's listening, 805-856-8808. That is the number that you call in. It's open mic night, so looks like you know, we need to feature some people, and that would be you guys, Project U Radio. That's what we do. Paul, why don't you throw down the gauntlet for us, man, since you got a few fresh moments.
To the gauntlet for you? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can let's see if I can get it going here. I'll reach into the depths of my brain here and pull something out, because this is the piece I've been working on lately. And it's a combination of different pieces. Because for me, poems sometimes take years to come together. They evolve, and they sometimes poems break off of other poems and join other poems. I don't know if other poets have the same kind of process with that, but this is a poem that in some ways I wrote recently, but it also has been kicking around for years, and it's called Whatever Happened to Our Us, and it's my little bit for the Occupy movement. And it goes a little something like this. Occupier, occupier, can you please tell me, have you seen anything emptier than the plots where our tents used to stand and the now sterilized plazas that play host only to this long crystalline wind, which appears to have swept away the final stand of a perceived righteousness? Yes, a long crystalline tubular wind, like a giant mechanized vacuum cleaner operated by men wearing hoodies and ski masks. Yes, ubiquitous police of the underbelly with their rallying cry, occupy this camp, biatches, that wrapped our sleeping bags around our necks to be dragged away by uniformed sanitation mercenaries, leaving only this darkish stains and a view of a traffic light turned red where a Prius with a Got Hope bumper sticker idles. Do you remember the place on the timeline between Waco 93 and the composting of our walls and grimy floor the rebels don't give a shit enough to keep clean anymore? Do you know there are the fossilized remains of a sexual revolution strewn about the heaps of rot throughout this compound? There was a forgotten labor movement crumpled at the bottom of some hippie's duffel bag. There's a civil rights mandate that has turned grease, that has become saturated with grease from having been stuffed beneath a pizza box. We have been squatting, or the only movement now is towards the horrible clarity of sobriety. We've been squatting beneath these canvas barricades for so long enough for history to grow fuzzy via time exposure. Long enough to think that maybe recess is over. Long enough to think that maybe the bell rang and maybe we missed it. Do you remember when the enemy's advanced battalions, arrived in their matching Circle K polyester? Do you remember when they camped out, when they surrounded us and just camped out, swilling crazy horse malt liquor and processing legalese? Our bastions were strafed by batteries of forms. Our turrets shelled by business return envelopes, and armada of B-1 bureaucratic bombers dropped their impressive payloads of competing deregulated utility bills and eviction notices, and we laughed, and we pointed in their faces, and we called them names, and so they in turn opened up their high-pressure hoses and turned them upon our ranks, dousing and bruising us with the vitriolic rhetoric of CNN agitprop, and still we laughed and pointed and called them names. And that's all I've got for now.
Whoa.
I'm going to break it off there. I was actually going from memory there, if you couldn't tell.
My question was going to be, how the hell can you be a stoner and remember all this stuff, man? I don't understand how you smoke weed and are able to remember all this. You must share this Jedi mind trick with me at some point.
Right.
I've had some practice. I've had some background in theater and things like that. That's come to work in my favor. I've memorization exercises, rehearsal, things like that. But you know, but I also enjoy the experimental. I enjoy the spontaneous. But those are things I have to work on. So, but I do need to get going now, because I think my plan is coming together and I have to go people to meet. But I want to just call in and hope everybody calls in and has a great night with the show tonight.
Mahalo, brother. Mahalo.
Thank you, Paul.
Mahalo. Yay. Okay, I miss you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
Cool. Have a good week.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. Paul Corman Roberts, Catching Waves in Hawaii. I'm not sure which island that would be on.
I think he's on Maui.
Is he on Maui?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know what? That's all right. I like Paul Coleman Roberts. Yeah. You know what? No, screw you, Paul Coleman Roberts on Maui. Fucking Catch Waves and remembering poems off the top of your head and shit. Crazy.
I know. He's always prepared. You know, he's, I mean, you know, I've seen him in action, and he's always prepared. He really is. He can just do it, you know.
He's a bomb, man. You know what? He's really got me going. And I will go ahead and say I see Sigerson in the chat room. Mr. Doc Sigerson, we are doing an open mic night. So if you feel the need to call in, 805-856-2808, please feel free to do that.
I'm not seeing the chat for some reason.
Really?
I don't know what my problem is. Yeah, I don't know.
It's there.
It's weird.
It's there.
Yeah. I believe you.
You need to get an upgrade there, Alexander. An upgrade.
I know.
Yeah. Apparently so, and maybe not. I'm going to throw down the gauntlet, actually, I think.
All right.
Yeah. This is a poem that is going to be in upcoming Zygote with My Coffee. And I know, they take anything, right? This is a poem called Polyp. The gutter snipe in the stall next to you is, for the most part, making inaudible sounds about the tiles on the floor. There's dirty towels on the ground at their feet because the main library is more like the community washbowl than it is a center for resource. Suddenly, the tramp realizes there is more blood in their stool than there was yesterday, and there's not really a surprise in their voice when they discover this. It's almost like they knew it was inevitable, that the amount of discharge would someday be greater than what they had previously imagined. The derelict is worried now, standing and sitting like a losing game of musical chairs, stating to no one in particular that they didn't realize they were bleeding like this before. She's completely oblivious to the fact that this is the men's room, and one day soon, if she doesn't learn to read, she's going to bleed out in there, sitting on a throne made for dicks. And that's it.
Oh, my gosh. Blood in the stool, huh?
Yeah. That is actually a true story.
That's a bad sign. That's usually a bad sign.
It is. It's a very bad sign. But thankfully, I think this poem actually got us a caller. Or maybe not. I don't know. We do have a caller on the line in area code 614. Do you have any idea where that's at, Lynn?
I'm terrible with that. I don't know. It's always a mystery.
All right. Well, 614, where are you?
I'm in Columbus. Ohio.
Columbus,
Ohio.
Yeah, we know Ohio. We're very familiar with Ohio.
Are you? All right.
We are. Yes.
I'm in
front
of
you on the. What?
Who do we have here, sir?
My name is Nathan Moore.
Ah.
Hi. Hello. Hi. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Yes. It's good to talk to you all. I've been trying to find you on the internet, and it's been very confusing, so I had to call you on my phone. Sorry, it's not your fault. My fault.
No, we're glad that you could escape through the confusion fog that seems to loom over the literary underground as of late, so I'm glad you can navigate that.
I was like, call, yeah.
Very wise. Well, Mr. Nathan Moore, I'm just curious, what did you happen to bring for us tonight, sir?
I have a little thing that I wrote. I wrote with a Texas poet named William Fain Roby. And it's a little collaborative thing that we wrote. The whole thing is called House. This is a poem for every room of the house. And this is the kitchen poem that I have for you tonight. Yeah, it sounds good. Doesn't look very,
Well, is it, are you saying it's a collection? I mean, there's a poem for each room of the house, or the poem covers each room?
No, there's a poem for each room of the house. I'm not going to read all of them, of course. I just have one, just the kitchen poem.
That's cool. Well, you know, the kitchen is the heart of the
house. This is all Rockwell and very heart and hearth and home and, yeah, and all that. No, wait, no, it's better than that.
Well, I got one question for you before you start reading.
Yeah.
Nathan Ward, ¿dónde está la cocina en los Estados Unidos?
No.
No. Okay. Good. All right. Awesome, man. Please, go ahead and read.
This is Kitchen by William Fane Roby and Nathan Moore. This is a collaborative work. Amsterdam crafted, a child's sword from the royal court hides in the trunk of your ruined Mercedes, a ruined transmission. My index finger's soup burn throbs. A Band-Aid slips off in dishwater as I wait for you downstairs, broken, speechless. The sheriff damns my endorsement. But soft, what cracker holds the weight of this magnificent cheese? And her sister, raspberry jam and brisket tender to the stick. This is a kitchen poem, knit of cornstarch, sweat, some record album worn to a nubbin. Downstairs, I am stealing nicks and cuts from the fridge, cold lines, jellying in fat. But soft, dear Saint Andre of grass-chewing cattle, sweet milk untranslated. Who gets the swordfish eye gets all the New Year's luck. A squidding signature shivers in aspic. I sign a bill that remains unpaid. Burnt my index finger for your supper, I did. Do you remember whiplash, the way the wind swept the kitchen, swept through struts and trusses, up several dresses, how we Goliathed ourselves over all the little Davids, down, 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 drowned, down in the trenches in the ground. Some of us throwing rocks. That didn't happen in the kitchen. But a ham up on blocks, 3 winters mired in salt, in the gray salts of France, in the terror salt, pulled at midnight, 1 pull per shift, this happening in Japan, home of hole-in-one insurance. A ham afterwards, sliced and served on goddamn American white bread. God damn it, that cured us all, rested our ills so we could lie on our backs in the steam from the steamer and, you know, get our wings. 1 page of a cookbook bleats in the cool draft, blinks an eye to all of us. We know, we know. That's it.
Mm. Cool. That's good.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, what was the inspiration for it? I mean, I know it's difficult. I mean, it's tough to collaborate with somebody else. I mean, you know, how
awesome.
Did you guys
I
do
love
it?
It?
Like, did you each kind
we
of
like,
write a part of it? And
yeah, we started off saying that, well, we're just going to write, you know, a few lines, and then you write a few lines, and I'll write a few lines, and we'll see how it goes. And it turned into this whole project, and now we made this entire manuscript. It's awesome, and we, you know, it was like, he writes so different than I do. He has such a different style than I do. He's so much more narrative and more centered on speech than I am. And I just got into that, and it was great.
I say each kind of brings something different to the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Definitely.
I like that. Now, I do have a question. I will go ahead and say that 425, I do see you on the line, so definitely hang out. But I do have a question for you, Mr. Nathan. I was going to ask, like, since it is a collab, do you think that the whole trend of doing collabs, do you think that that's sort of a dying art these days, or do you see it as somewhat of a prevalent problem?
I have
writing communities.
Well, I wish I had some prescient notion of what the arts were doing, but I have nothing. I don't know. I just do what I do, and I have no idea where the arts are going or what they're doing.
I think that might be my favorite answer, to be honest with you. You couldn't have answered that any better.
they're way ahead of me. The arts are way ahead of me. I'm way behind them. I just do what I do because I love it.
Right on, man.
You know?
Right on.
I don't think any of us really know what what the arts are doing. Yeah. You know, I think, yeah. I think, you know, and I think that once you think you know,
me.
Then
they
you're...
can screw me. That's fine. That's fine.
Right. So Columbus, I mean, so you're, like I said, you're practically my neighbor. I'm right near, right outside Pittsburgh. So you're, you know, you're not that far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll probably, I mean,
yeah,
no,
and,
I get
and,
into
and spread the word. You know, we're always looking for people to come and read over here, you know. Spread the word. Tell people to come over and read.
Oh,
for
great.
Us. We have
where can people find that sort of information and how to get a hold of you about local reads and whatnot?
How about get a hold of me or, like, in terms of reading here in Columbus?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting a hold of reading in Columbus, I would go through the Ohio Poetry Association, go on their website, and be like, I want to read in Columbus, and post something there on their wall on Facebook.
Great.
And people will get in touch with you.
And, of course, how can people find your work as well?
People will find my work at a site called Exhaust Fumes and French Fries.
ExhaustFumesandFrenchFries.com, or is that...
That's at WordPress.com.
Word. Everybody, please go check out Mr. Nathan Moore. I really dug it, man. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Lynn dug it. I'm so actually surprised Lynn has not tried to spirit you away to an imaginary island like she did last week with some poem.
That's what Pickerington, Ohio smells like, exhaust fumes, french fries. It's what
there
it
you
smells
go.
Like all the time.
That's the kind of smell that Lynn Alexander would like to have on her deserted
island. Oh, really?
Yes.
You're making a lot of assumptions tonight, Mr. Metro.
I'm a very assumptive person. And you know what they
really
say about
being
a mother and all that great stuff.
It was really fun.
Yes.
No, it's nice to hear from you, and maybe we'll do a road trip. You know, Frankie and I are kind of partial to the road trip idea. You know, we'll get out to Columbus sometime, because we seem to be, you know, we seem to pop up everywhere. I mean, I've been in Cleveland a bunch of times and reading and doing things this past year, so I get over there quite a bit to Ohio.
You're a right coaster. You're a right coaster, and that's what you do. So
right. Well, I'll be on the West Coast soon enough too. But you know, I go where I can. Yeah.
Yes.
So, maybe we'll see. We'll see. So that was cool. And you know, I think, like I said, I think the collaborative idea, and I don't know that everyone can work that way, but when two people or more people can, I think it really is a good thing.
I do too. I don't see it very often done well, and that was actually really good. So
yeah.
I really
love
the part where he's like, "What cracker holds this cheese?" Like.
Right.
Very, very, very profound.
You're like sitting here on a Friday night. It's like deep thoughts with Nathan Moore. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of deep thoughts, cool. We're going to move to our next guest, who is full of deep thoughts. Mr. Sigerson has deep thoughts all the time, constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days
a week. I believe that.
This guy is a genius. Sigerson, back me up here. You're a genius, right?
I know when somebody's full of it.
And that's part of being a genius. Exactly. Exactly, sir. How you doing, Mr. Sigerson?
Oh, I haven't had a good week, really, but I'm using a brand new phone.
Yeah, you sound clear, actually.
Do I really?
Yeah, you do.
I this is the first time I'm using this phone for a phone call.
Okay.
And my old phone...
What, you mean the first time you're ever using this particular phone, or...?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Breaking it in.
It's like a virgin call. It's like,
oh.
Like the very first... I mean, that's... Wow.
We're going to ruin your virginity, Mr. Sigerson.
A historical moment in telecommunication. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd already received earlier today a text message from my stalker.
Stalkers are always getting in the way of the Project Underground.
I hate this phone. I haven't bought a phone in like 7 years. So I just go to the store and I buy a phone without even looking at phones. And I get it home, and over the screen it has texting and driving. It can wait. and it won't come off the screen.
Oh.
And any content on the screen is sort of behind this lettering.
Huh.
And it's totally unreadable for me. And right now, you know, I can't use the phone for texting because I can't see anything.
Are you a big texter, Mr. Sigerson? No, I'm not.
But there's a couple people in my life that do like to text.
Oh, okay. Understandable.
Well, actually, I heard, and I'm not sure which particular models this applies to, but I actually heard that some of the phones are being, you know, they're having some sort of a sensor inside that can kind of detect when you're driving. And can disable the phone so that you're not texting and driving. Like, I don't know how it does it. I mean, I don't know technology, but, I mean, I guess that's a pretty good idea if you think about it. You know, it does something where it will disable your ability to text. I mean, you know, we've all had that experience where we're driving along behind some idiot, and then, you know, we pull up alongside, and, you know, there they are on Facebook or whatever, and you just want to, like, smack them on the side of the head because,
yeah.
They're, you know, it is dangerous. You know, it's a dangerous thing to be doing. I mean, it's dangerous to, you know, eat fries and drink coffee and do other things too. But, you know, the texting in particular, I mean, it really can wait, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I just see them, like, doing things like what you're mentioning there. And then, of course, like a couple years before that, they're, like, taking ashtrays out of cars because they don't want people smoking in cars while they're driving and whatnot. I'm just, like, I'm kind of concerned, to be honest with you, when I hear things like this. I'm not going to go off on a long diatribe about it.
What do you mean? Concerned that it's a slippery slope? That
yeah.
It's sort of like somebody intruding on
Big
Brother?
On personal freedom, I think. It's an intrusion.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, so is drinking and driving. I mean, so is a lot of things that people do in the name of safety. And, I mean, I have to say that the texting and driving does drive me nuts because I do think it's dangerous, you know. I don't know. I'm not sure that you should have,
Your device stable. You know what, Sigerson? I think Lynn is, like, one of these types of people that pulls up beside people and they see them, like, driving and with the text phone. And she's literally one. She'll throw a crowbar out the window at your car if she sees you on her phone. I think she is. Dangerous.
No.
Dangerous.
No, but, you know, I think the point here is not whether or not we should be monitored or whether or not technology should be, you know, determining our behavior as far as safety. But I think the point is what can't wait? I mean, you know, really? You know, I don't. That's what I don't understand is what is so, like, goddamn important, you know?
You know?
And, you know, if you lose an arm, you know, gotta call somebody.
It's not something that I would ever do myself. And you know, I feel like that I got the children's phone and I didn't get the adult phone.
Oh, you know what? I am going to personally campaign for Sigerson to get the adult phone from whoever provider this is. You give Sigerson the adult phone because he's a big boy. He puts on his pants just like you. So, sorry. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Sigerson, actually. What did you happen to bring for us today, sir? Did you happen to bring some?
You know, I am going to read some Pablo Neruda.
Okay.
I found this old anthology at the local Goodwill store. And it's selected poems by Pablo Neruda. And I think it was published in 30. Published by New Directions. So I expected it to be good.
Yeah.
But I went through it. And these translations are very stale and old. And compared to the translations by Stephen Mitchell, who's a very good translator, these are just really not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could do better, so... You know, I tried my hand at translating one of these poems.
Oh, cool.
And what I found out by doing it myself is this translator had added like a 6-line passage.
Oh, wow. Snuck it in himself and just like said it was Neruda?
He had inserted, inserted a six-line passage with a nautical theme that had nothing to do with the surrounding text. So, you know, I believe in a translator making, you know, taking liberties a bit, but I really have to wonder what this guy was thinking. So I'm going to read my translation here.
Word.
It's called, the original title is Caballero Solo. My title is The Solitary Male. Excuse me. The juvie queer hustlers and clinging nephets, and the long-widowed matrons delirious from lack of sleep, and the young women pregnant barely 30 hours, and the rasp-throated cats that crossed my garden in darkness. Like a necklace of quivering oysters, they surround my solitary and lonesome home, as enemies set to besiege my soul, as conspirators frisking about in lingerie and skivvies, trading deep kisses, changing partners at a secret signal. The radiant and warm summer lures out the lovers in their spiffy best and sorted into unfulfilling mismatches, composed of fat and thin or happy and sad couples. Under the elegant coconut palms near the ocean and the moon, there's a constant trafficking of trousers and skirts, a rumor of silk stockings receiving a soothing caress, and those protruding nipples which, like eyes, gather the gaze. The low-wage worker, after his week of grinding tedium and grazing on trash novels at night in bed, has seduced his neighbor's nubile tweenie and sneaks her out to cheap gray B-movies where the heroes are spirited horses or passionate princes. And her legs, downy with sweet hair, he caresses with a hand ardent and damp, reeking of cigarette. The dust of the seducers and the nights of the spouses come together like a seamless shroud in which to bury me. And you pray for those who after lunch must take time to masturbate, and in full public view, the animals unabashedly couple and fuck, and the bees smell of blood to the vexation of the buzzing flies. And in the closet, the older cousin instructs her boy cousin, and the doctor glares angrily at the husband of his young patient. And in the morning, the school teacher distractedly stoops his wife, brings her to the brink before scarfing down his breakfast. And further, it's the illicit lovers who love with the truest love. For surely this be the eternal landscape through which I walk, this large forest, this towering trees, breathing, fragrant, and tangled with large, flamboyant flowers whose mouths sport sharpened fangs, and breaking the ground, black roots shaped as toenails and shoes. And that was Caballero Solo by Neruda.
That's the very first time I have heard a Pablo Neruda poem. I actually liked it. I am going to say that. Wow.
Thanks.
No, like, I was going to ask you, like, what sort of subtle transition, or, excuse me, subtle changes did you make to your translation as opposed to the one that you were reading?
Well, I updated the language a little bit. It's a little bit more slangy.
I think it was, I think you're slanging some fucking poetic gold is what I think you're slanging, sir. That's some dope shit, for real.
Yeah.
Really dug it. Lynn, what did you think?
No, I think it was cool. I think he's got a, you know, he's a good reader too. I mean, you know, it's and not everyone can do that and do it well too. So, you know, and I'm curious if, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel bad cause I don't know you very well. I mean, I see you in the chat sometimes when the show is on and stuff, and I've been kind of, I don't mean to be rude. I mean, I should say hi, but I mean, you know, I'm not that familiar with, you know, I mean, do you write stuff yourself? I mean, are you, you know, I don't know where you're at, put it that way. So
he's actually at Red Fez. He does have a piece up at Red Fez, a very popular piece, I must say, Mr. Sagerson. Very popular piece by the title of AKA DB Tuber. Very, very good piece, in fact. But
I remember.
Yeah. It's hard to not remember it, sir. I got to be honest with you. It's probably one of the most read nonfictions, like, month after month. It really is.
Yeah.
I check that every time. And, yeah, you're it's a pretty popular story at the Fed, sir, so kudos to you.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Sigerson's very modest, too. He's a very modest guy. So, yeah, you know. It's like it.
Well, you got to be modest when you have a child phone, you know. You got to... No.
Oh,
it's very humbling. It's very humbling to be scolded by your cell phone, you know. It's
oh, yeah. Sigerson, why don't you... Can you let everybody know where your blog page is? Because I know that you put up a lot of translations on your blogger page and what have you.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very popular blog these days. I have no idea why. It gets 60 to 80 hits a day. For me, that's a lot, because I don't have very many friends. But I think it's...
Well, you know, that's just not very many at all. You know.
As far as I know, it's only one person. Yeah. For where it is, you know, I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what. I'll pull it up, actually, and I'll throw it in the chat room for everybody that's listening in and give up all our listeners. So people definitely need to go check out some Sigerson. Lynn, you definitely need to go check it out. You need to go get educated.
Yeah. Well,
straight up on some Sigerson.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, I'd like to do that because, I mean, and, you know, and the thing is, you know, I'm also really terrible with, like, names and stuff. Like once I actually, like, I hear somebody or I have some sort of a conversation with them, then they, you know, then they really, you know, then it kind of comes back to me. But, you know, it's almost like until, you know, I don't know, until I hear somebody's voice, you know? I mean, then it really, you know, I don't know what it is. But, yeah, I mean, you know, now I definitely will, you know, check it out and you know, get on the case, as they say. So,
yeah,
you know,
get on the case. Sigerson, I really appreciate you coming by and hanging out with us for a little bit and reading really good. Like I said, dude, I'd never liked the new Roto poem until just now. So, you've done the impossible today, sir. Done the impossible.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Whose range is limitless. He wrote about everything during his very long life. So, if you're only familiar with, say, the romantic stuff, you may never have touched the political stuff that he's famous for.
That's true. I was going to say, you know, one of my favorite things in the Savage by Roberto is the plot kidnap Octavio Paz. But I kind of wish that they had plotted to kidnap Pablo Neruda instead of Paz. I think that would have made a little bit more sense to me.
That Paz was still alive.
Is he still alive? Really?
And Neruda has already passed.
Well, we could always kidnap corpses. We do that on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel sometimes, so we do that every now and again. Sigerson, did you want to hang out with us for a little while, or did you need to? You want to hang out and chill with us for a minute?
Oh, you know, it's way past my bedtime.
Understandable, sir. Understandable.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. It's even harder when Frankie does. I have always have trouble with the vampire tunnel because, you know, I keep telling him, I'm like, I get up at 6 and it's so hard. It's so hard to stay up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then it's not hard to get up. It's hard to have been up all of that time, you know, from 6 in the morning until that late. That's when I start to really, you know, wither on the vine.
The Draconian Vampire Tunnel is sometimes it's not a show that you can just easily rest after. Like, sometimes that shit will get in your head.
Right. It's not. Actually, that's the problem, is that actually if you know, because of the music and all the, you know, everything going on, it's actually hard for me to, like, unwind after, you know? And
no, I feel you. I definitely feel you.
Like, you sit there in bed going, damn you, Frankie. No. Shaking your fist.
Yeah. I am here for. Well, we do have 60 minutes left of live streaming. Of course, number to call in, everybody, 855-856-208. I did see a 505 area code on there. I know who you are, 505. Right upstairs. Go ahead and call back. Linda Thomas. Yeah.
Lindsay. Yeah, I hope she is she still there, or she's going to maybe call back?
Yeah, she's working the front desk tonight, as she was last week. But,
yeah.
You know what, if she gets back on the line, we'll bring her back in. And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I was actually going to say, Lynn, how about you throw down the gauntlet this time?
Oh, on the spot, throwing down the gauntlet. Oh. Okay.
Yep, that's right.
I should have expected that. I should have been prepared. I really, I'm learning, so I will be more prepared next time. But let's see. What I do have, and you know what, I feel like my line's a little more static than usual. Are you hearing that, or is it me?
I hear you fine, actually. I'm just curious as to whether or not my Skype is acting kind of funky. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those things, you know. It's like it's clear, it's not. But anyway, yeah, we'll deal with that.
You're good.
I just didn't know if you could hear me okay. Actually, you know what, since we were talking about collaborations, I probably should do something like that. Paul Corman Roberts and I actually do quite a bit of stuff together. We haven't done a whole lot with it. It's something we actually, I think, kind of do more just because we like to. I mean, we do a lot of cutting things up and splicing things together and going back over it and kind of mashing it up again. And I guess it's just something, you know, we have fun doing. You know, we don't really have a goal or a purpose in mind. I mean, we're not like, but anyway, this is something that we actually worked on together. And I'm not really sure. I mean, I never read it out loud before, so I thought in the spirit of collaboration, and because Paul called in earlier, I would kind of give a nod to him because he's, you know, he's cool. So anyway, this is Dominion. Okay, Frankie, I will try it out. Okay. Indiglo leaks through the door frame. You are present, etched by grain, a century board. Once planed striation at the gate, Dominion, knotted time, spun in service, fulfilling the ancient niche. Fibers spun the edge of nexus in the lean of beings, flesh fed by the tangle of vessels. It is the wayward stalk that we push to stump. It is the way of wood that in the leaning leads the way to plank. It is the way of ash, the carbon model our bones copy. Conical backdrops, etheric oceans here, even in this foyer. Even here, before the balance, in the spectrum dew, you are longer there. Reaching at the onset, folded in the close, there is white when you forget me. Lately, there is leaving. Leaving when the other wanes, what's next becomes relentless. And that's me and Paul. Paul and I do some weird stuff.
I've done that a lot, actually. I was
some weird, wacky stuff, you know, Paul and I, and the thing that people don't know about Paul, and I will say this because of how closely I work with him, and you know, you get to know different sides of a writer. You get to know sort of, he's got sort of his more public side and the kind of stuff that he performs and he does, and you know, and he's funny, and you know, he's got a little bit of a political thing going, but the side that I see when we do a lot of the things we do is very, you know, it's very like romantic and very beautiful. And he's really got this kind of whole other side going that I think is he, you know, how poets evolve over time and you know, this stuff comes out, you become more comfortable, I think, with it. And I could see that happening with Paul. I could see over the years that what he's doing is changing, and it's kind of getting a layer of just something else to it, and so that's why I kind of thought maybe that one, because I think it sort of shows a different side of Paul that I don't think people see very often, really. So, you know,
I think that
I don't
goes
know
a
what
lot
you,
with saying. Well, I think that goes a lot with saying about talking about a person's taste sometimes being the true definitive part about it. Because if I mean, just from what I've seen of Paul's taste in writing, a lot of times it's a wide range. But he does have a tendency sometimes to lean to the very romantic as of late. I've noticed that. So
yes,
I can see what you're talking about there. I really can. So,
yeah. I mean, and I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't. I think that that's maybe true for a lot of people. They go through different phases in their lives, and they go through different mm-hmm. phases in their creative work. And I think that, you know, it's just wherever it takes you. But, you know, I think that's what I'm seeing him doing in the ways that he's sort of growing in different directions. I mean, you know, he's really very well rounded, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I kind of thought that was sort of an example of what, you know, what I mean by that. So that's why I thought I'd throw that one out there. Cause,
well, it's a good poem. Yeah. Very good choice. Man, you guys and your creative levels are just way high. Lynn Alexander and Paul Coleman Roberts, I will go on record and saying this is ever since I have met the two of them, I have felt the need to up my game a little bit. I will say that on air. So, yeah, you guys are, like, phenomenal. Seriously. It's been my pleasure to work with you guys over the last couple of months. I think it's, like, what has it been, like, 6 months? I don't even know. Yeah. About 6 months or so, right? Red Fez?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, I think everybody sort of brings different, like, I remember hearing you read in Toledo, I was kind of like, you know, I mean, you're a performer. I mean, you're definitely one of those people that, you know, can just get up there and, you know, just very confident and, you know, just deliver. I mean, you know, just like one after another. And I mean, I think that's, you know, one skill set, you know, and it's kind of, I think, amazing because the people over at Red Fez, I mean, I think it's really a, you know, it's kind of a really diverse but pretty talented group of people. I mean, I have to
Indeed.
Say that.
Yeah.
You know, I really, you know, like Michelle, for example, I mean, she sort of kind of hangs in the, you know, I always call her Mama Fez, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she takes care of things that you don't see, you know, and she does a lot of work that is, you know, is very important work, but like she doesn't, you know, that she doesn't necessarily maybe get credit for, you
All
know,
right,
and
I
people,
will, I will say that she is probably you know? One of the best poets out here right now. That's
I
right.
know, I know. That's what I mean, and I, yeah. I'm so excited when I see her put stuff out. You know, like when you had her at the Met Lab, and I know she was in. You know, I mean, she's. You know, I would like to see her have more stuff out there, and I would like to see her actually get up there and do some readings because I think she's just amazing. You know, but she's quiet.
Yeah,
yeah
she is.
I
she's
mean,
very quiet. She's. I remember the very first time I did an interview. She was telling me that this was the first time she had ever read one of her poems out loud, like, to people. And I was like, why? Like, people need to hear this kind of stuff. Like, in all honesty, Michelle, if you're listening to this in the archives, you really need to put your stuff out there more because you're just way at a level that's so above par that you really are doing the world an injustice by not reading it. Speaking of which, I do have 505 area code on the line, which is
All
Lindsay
right.
Thomas. We're bringing Lindsay Thomas in. Lindsay Thomas, you are live.
Speaking of cool chicks.
Yeah. Lindsay Thomas.
Hello.
Hello. Hola.
Hello. ¿Quién habla?
Me llamo Diego de Gallo. Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos a mi poema.
Sí.
Tengo un poema.
Sí.
Para ustedes.
¿Dónde está la poema?
En la cocina. Con,
ah,
las,
sí.
con los frijoles.
¿Los frijoles? Los frijoles es mi poema. Bienvenidos, Pico de Gallo.
A mí me gusta Pico de Gallo.
Hello, Lindsay Thomas.
Hello.
I feel like I'm eavesdropping on my old neighbors. You know, when you hear them through the walls. And
yeah.
You know.
It's a good way to learn Spanish that way. It is. You eavesdrop on your neighbors.
I hope your neighbors don't speak Spanish like that.
So, Miss Lindsay Thomas, what are you doing right now?
I'm spying on you guys. I'm seeing what's
oh,
going
cool.
on in the literary underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could use some spying, you know. We could use some interloping, actually. We could, yeah.
Exactly.
I think, you know. And I always say this, you know, we always could use the estrogen. I mean, it's always, you know, not, and I made this point last time, and I know that it's, you know, I've been criticized for it when I say, you know, I like, you know, I like when we have females call in and people are like, well, what's the difference? But no, you know what I mean. It's, you know.
Yes,
you know,
we know what you
shout
mean.
Shout out to the sisters. You know,
you're
it's good
sexist.
Because.
Yes, we know.
Yes, I am absolutely being sexist because it actually does make me very happy when, you know. You know, when we, you know why? Because to be encouraging of one another. You know, I like to see that, and I like to try to do it. You know, and
it's something that's needed. So. I think it's something that's needed in the small press community, because me and Lindsay have actually discussed, like, female writers. A lot of times, don't support other female writers, and that's something that should be out there. And I don't know, Lindsay. What do you think? What's your take on the female writer scenario?
Well, let's see. I hate to say it, but most of my favorite writers are not female writers. But I'm not sure if it's because of who gets exposure or I don't know. But Lynn Alexander is really one of the exceptions. And I mean, there are a lot of them, and Lynn is just the shit.
There you go. Yep.
Oh, thank you. Well, see, you know, we have our old girl crush going on here, you know. But
I'm sorry I couldn't make it last week.
I had my plaid pajamas on. I was all ready. Had curlers in my hair. I was all set up. No, but I know what you mean. I mean, I think when you say that sometimes we don't support one another, I don't know if I mean, there is a tendency toward, you know, maybe some cattiness, some competition. And I'm not saying that doesn't go on between men. I'm not saying it's a female, you know, issue necessarily. But I'm just saying that in some of these circles, I do think I see it, you know. I don't know if it's in my mind or my imagination, but... yeah, I think that it's tough. It's tough. Maybe we're not conditioned in the same way to be team players. I don't know. You know, I guess we could have a whole show about why that is. But
I think that might be a good show topic, actually.
Yeah,
it'd be a good show topic.
You know, I mean, I remember thinking that about, you know, some of the females that I've, you know, interacted with. Like, you know, can't you just be happy for the success of other people? Can't you take joy in that? You know, why? You know.
That's a good question. I think it's one of those that, we're going to have to spend some time with that, I think.
Yeah, it's not, you know, an easy thing to answer, but...
Oh, not an easy answer there. We do have 3 minutes left of live streaming. For anybody that's still listening, 805-856-2808 is the number to call in if you would like to contribute poetically or conversationally, what have you. Lindsay Thomas. Do you happen to have something to read? Do you happen to have your little blue notebook with you?
Yes, I do. I have my little notebook here, but I don't have anything ready right away.
No, I'll tell you what. Let me give you a little time. How about that?
Okay.
I'll stall for you.
All right. Okay.
This is I'm going to stall. And I got one poem here. This is a poem called For General Butt Naked. It's a title of the poem. A Liberian Christmas equals a tree with a wrapped young skeleton in a bow tie box. Suit bones, ribbons, shreds. Splinter reality episodes like Sunday sitcoms seeing the tokolosh pre-venom in the phosphorescent belly of a whale. Job not singing of devastated crops or his children, but rapping about AIDS. I mean it, this whale produces loud stank ribs like mussels. Veins like bones, swallowed whole, one beached fucker, hard, belly up on the beach at West Point with lost prophets singing to no one but themselves. West Point, where the commissioner himself comes to squat and take a shit with his people. We got no qualms about teenagers fucking he-she and nupping with AK-47s on their shoulders. We got no qualms with evangelical warlords, invincible, butt naked, wearing prim white suits and bearing old crosses. We got no qualms in the belly of a whale, but we do hear music and journalism like gunplay. We call it boys marching down the tongue of a dead image. We call it bones and veins. We call it muscle, affirmative youth, malaria. We can even see the tokolosh when we look out from the brothels and the huddles. that we are chaos and effect and cause, tiger sharks, born from American blubber, gift bearers, sickly sea serpents of the last shore. And that's it.
Cool, Frankie. Now you did that, or you were reading Lindsay's? That's yours.
No, that was actually mine, actually.
Okay. No, I just wanted to clarify because, you know, it gets later and I start,
I thought about giving Lindsay credit for that and then, giving her credit for the four rejection letters that poem has gotten. And, no, I'm not going to give you credit for that, Lindsay. Those are my four rejection letters. Yeah.
You know what I think Lindsay should do, and I don't know if this makes any sense, but I kind of think it would be interesting if, you know how she's sort of upstairs and I guess you're downstairs? I think one day she should tell us, what she's seeing up there, like a report, you know?
Ah.
Like every now and then I think, it would be cool if she could, call in and say, there's a guy over there and he's wearing, overalls and he's, looking for, Cheetos in his pocket or just a little glimpse of what exactly goes down, without identifying, but, kind of a report, a
there
little vicarious
characters.
Report,
Yeah.
I think that would be, like a little dispatch from the upstairs,
I should just walk around with the phone on speaker, and you guys should just be really quiet, and I just have to sit down next to people who are having the right conversation, and that would make a pretty interesting show sometimes.
Do we have any people staying at the hostel tonight, Lindsay? Is there very many very many people staying?
I think they're all out partying down. They're not really here right now.
Oh, word. Central Avenue is popping tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think most of the people are, out on a Friday night up there, I love hostels. I mean, I don't know at what point I'll be, isn't there a cutoff? I don't know what the age limit is. I mean, I'm sure I'm pushing it, they still let me in. No
There's
one
no
has
age
ever
limit
refused
after
me
Route
yet.
6. No age limit here.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Right.
Nope.
I mean, there might be. Is it that there is for men? Is that how it works? Or I don't know.
No,
but I know
it depends on where you are. There's some hostels that have a membership and whatnot. Most of them in the States, I think pretty much anybody can go to them, except there's some restriction on. Usually they don't want local people going and using it as kind of a cheap lodging for derelicts or whatnot. But
that's why I'm here.
It's for everybody.
I'm the derelict in the basement right now.
But I mean, I think they're great. I mean, I think it would be actually a pretty good place to have like an open mic or an event. I mean, I know that the Baltimore Pat King, I don't know if from like Outsider Writers and different places, but he had me come down to Baltimore. I guess it's probably 2 years ago now, and there was actually a reading at the Baltimore Hostel, and I mean it's a beautiful building,
Baltimore.
Well, I know how you feel about Baltimore, but I just became so in love with this hostel, place to sort of congregate idea of what he's doing down there. That's the Last Rites series that he does, and it's cool. It's because you have all kinds of people in and out, and people from other countries. It's just a good environment to do that kind of thing. So, yeah, and a good place to probably, record people and just get maybe some snapshots of what goes on and then kind of assemble it together into something.
It's just not a good place to be stuck for 8 hours at all. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. You think it would get old? You think, I wouldn't be excited after a while.
Yeah, you know what? I'm very prejudiced against Baltimore, and it's just maybe
they did you wrong.
Yeah, they did me wrong, man. They did us both wrong, right, Lindsay? Am I wrong here? Like, we got did wrong that day by Baltimore.
Yeah,
I didn't have a whole lot of fun there either.
Yeah. Yeah, they were especially mean to Lindsay, I thought, and I didn't like that. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have a better time in Baltimore next time. Maybe. We'll keep our... Or I'm going to keep my mind open. We'll keep it open. So that's what we do here. Project U Radio, right now we are out of live streaming. We're actually into the after-hours portion of the show.
Right.
So I will go ahead and let everybody know that's listening in archives that you can go directly after the show and listen to Red Fez meets with Sean Meisner.
Right. That should be... No, that's right now.
Yeah,
right?
It's on right now, actually.
So we got to...
We're
going to
hit the
gears.
Roads, I think. Everybody can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/redfez to pull up all that information for those that are listening in the archives right now. Before we go, Lindsay Thomas, did you happen to find something to read?
Oh, I don't have anything very good. I have a little untitled one here. Let's see, it is, hold on, I'm just trying to make sure I don't have an audience right now. Because
no, you need the audience.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What do you need? This computer? Oops, okay. Let's see. When he was a little boy. Oh, are you ready?
Yeah, no, I didn't know if you were busy doing the desk. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, somebody needed the computer. Okay.
When
he was a little boy, he used to dress up in his sister's slutty black goth dresses and high heels. He dyed her Barbie doll's hair black. And when he was a little older, he dressed her in dominatrix gear. And when he grew out of that phase, he turned her Barbie dream house into a brothel where he charged his imaginary friends extra Monopoly money for Barbie's younger sister. Younger, less developed sister, Skipper.
I love that poem.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't really have any gems here.
It rings a little bit too true for my taste. I mean,
You know what I like about that? It just proves that the derelicts aren't just downstairs. They're upstairs, too. So, I love that poem, you wrote that in crayon, right, Lindsay? You wrote that in crayon? Is that correct?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to go ahead and close out the show. That way we can all head over to Red Fez Land and deal with Mr. Tipperary. I do want to thank, of course, all of our callers tonight, Mr. Nathan Moore, Mr. Doc Sigerson, as well as Ms. Lindsay Thomas. Thank you all for calling in. Lynn Alexander, I wanted to thank you as well. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you guys. And, you know, I hope we can get Lindsay back on. I mean, you know, I like hearing her stuff. So, you know, we'll coerce her again. And maybe we'll get the report on the upstairs next time.
That's coming up next.
Yeah,
next
you know, when conditions are right, I'll maybe even get some people on the phone, and they can read in their various accents and whatnot. And
nice.
It'll bring something different.
That's what we love here.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, we love different variations on things here at Project Radio. Anything Project U related, such as the Draconian Vampire Journal or Spectral Ganglia, the show that you've been listening to, all that information you guys can go out and find www.theliteraryunderground.org. All that great information, as well as new releases from Citizens for Decent Literature. So I do have to plug that real quick. Really great stuff over there. And constantly keeping it rolling, man. That's what we do here at the Literary Underground.
Yep. Hey. Okay. Well, thank you guys, and good night. I will let you go over to Red Fez. Thank you.
Good night.